Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 152 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio exclusively right here on listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. Please stop by Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and see what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Friday, June the 14th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m., about 9:01, 9:02 Eastern Time, on a Friday evening, that is June the 14th, you are indeed listening to a live show. And you are welcome to phone in and participate, and I'll be giving out those phone numbers in just a moment. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and it is there that you're going to find links to the guests and to the audio archives from all of the past shows. You'll find links there to the chat room. I must tell you that the main site, Head On Radio Network site, is down this evening, so you won't have easy access to the chat room. But if you're interested in stopping in the chat room and you don't have a direct link, just drop me an email. Again, headonradionetwork.com email address won't work this evening, but you can drop me an email to peter@gaydancefloor.com. That's peter@gaydancefloor.com, and I'll be glad to shoot you a direct link to the chat room so you can get in this evening. Our friend John in Australia is working to get the website squared away. We're on the air, but the website is not cooperating. At strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you'll also find the links to Strictly Confidential's MySpace page, and there are links there to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. There are links there to the Head On Radio Network main site, which is down this evening, but normally you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, and normally you'll find there the PayPal button, which makes it easy for you to support the Head On Radio Network. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4 head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366, toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck. Again, we are listener-supported. And that's area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. And the email for this evening only arrives to peter@gaydancefloor.com. That's peter@gaydancefloor.com. And we'll have the Head On Radio Network main site hopefully up by tomorrow evening, and it'll be easier to get in and out of chat. We do have programming tomorrow evening on Saturday nights when the other networks are all rerunning. We're going strong. So thank you for joining us here this evening, and Friday evening. It's good to be back. Good to be back. There was some downtime there. What was it, about 12, 13 days? I had a work schedule that was unrelenting, and Bob was down for a while with the aches and pains of of the West Virginia mountain life. So it is indeed good to be back here with you. What a remarkable guest we had last evening, Pamela Stanley. Certainly enjoyed speaking with her. If you missed the Pamela Stanley interview, please stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find a link there to the audio archive. Remarkable woman. In fact, toward the end of the program last evening, Pamela told us about a song called Survive, and it's an interesting story about that track. We're actually going to run it for you this evening. We ran out of time last night before we could run the track, but we're going to run the track with her description. We're actually going to put her audio in from last night just before the track, so you will hear her introduction just as if we had done it last evening. So we'll run Survive soon into the program. The DJ across the street is Mr. Jerry Bottom. The gay bar across the street. Jerry will join us shortly after 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and this will be from the Trocadero 30th anniversary, the Pearl anniversary of the Trocadero in San Francisco, and we always enjoy Jerry when he's able to DJ for us across the street. Let's see, there's something I'm supposed to tell you, but I can't quite remember what it was, so let's just jump into the news. I've had several people send me the article today regarding Norway. And I'm going to jump in and start with that to tell you about Norway's parliament. You see, on Wednesday, they adopted a new law, a new marriage law that allows homosexuals to marry, yes, and adopt children. And it permits our lesbian friends to be artificially inseminated. Now, there was a heated debate the members of parliament, but they adopted the new law by a vote of 84-41. It's hard to imagine those kind of margins in the United States Senate. There were three center-left coalition parties that are in power and two opposition parties, and they voted largely in favor of the law, while the party called the Christian Democrats and the far-right Progressive Party voted against it. I don't think that comes as any great surprise. And thank you, Fancy Free, for correcting me. Did I not change that in my little calendar? Today is, in fact, June 13th, not June 14th. And she is absolutely right. It is Friday the 13th. Wow, that just occurs to me. Perhaps that's why I made the mistake. At some subconscious level, I was desperately trying to avoid Friday the 13th, but I'm changing it right now, but I won't go through the introduction again. I'll spare you that, but thank you. Thank you, Fancy Free. That's from our chat room. By the way, if you're not in the chat room, it's a great place to be. They keep me between the lines, as you can tell. Norway is now the sixth country in the world to grant homosexuals right to marry on completely equal footing with heterosexuals. It's been said the Labour Party reporters said the decision is of importance comparable to the suffrage movement and our laws on parity. Now, the most controversial part of the law is the part that gives lesbians the right to be artificially inseminated. The sperm donor must be identified so that the child can seek out his or her biological father at 18. I think that's a good thing. And the protesters out front were carrying signs that said, "Now fathers are just a sperm sample." And other posters said, "Having fathers is irrelevant." And other posters said, "Parliament has no mandate to change the laws of nature." There's more to that story, but ironically, I must bring this in, also from Oslo, also from Norway, at the same time, the protesters carrying a sign that says Parliament has no mandate to change those laws of nature, there is a new display. It's entitled Against Nature, and this display is at the Oslo Natural History Museum, and it documents homosexuality and homosexual behavior among over 1,000 members of the animal kingdom, from beetles to whales. And there's a lot of talk going around Norway regarding the exhibit at the moment. It's in the country's capital, and it is the world's first museum and exhibition on gay animals on the planet. Again, the display is called Against Nature, and it's at the Oslo Natural History Museum, and it documents homosexuality over well over 1,000 members of the animal kingdom. A project leader of the exhibit told a news source that it shows homosexuality is natural. We may have opinions about these things, but one thing is absolutely clear. Homosexuality is natural because it's found throughout the animal kingdom. It is not against nature. He goes on to say homosexuality has been observed in more than 1,500 animal species, as well as well-documented in 500 of them. There is one exhibit that has been fiercely opposed by the Christian groups, and it is a display. It is an exhibit of a male giraffe mounting another male giraffe. But just thought I would share that with you regarding the protesters' sign. The new legislation for marriage replaced a partnership law that was put into effect by 1993, and it gave Norwegian LGBT folks a right to civil unions. But there was there were lots of talk about it being separate but equal, and they finally got around to granting full marriage rights. Healthcare workers, by the way, who do not want to perform artificial inseminations on lesbians because of their personal convictions will not be under any obligation to carry out the procedure. And were I a lesbian looking to be artificially inseminated, I don't think I would want a healthcare worker doing that procedure who thought I was less than human anyway. So I think that is a great provision. The new law will come into force at the end of the year. And actually, homosexuality was illegal there until 1972. And since then, it's become a country with one of the most liberal policies in the world regarding their gay community. Norway is joining Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, South Africa, and Canada in granting gay people full marriage rights. It's interesting, in the world today, the list of countries that grant full marriage rights and civil unions is constantly growing and difficult to keep up with Spain, Belgium, and the Netherlands, South Africa, and Canada giving full marriage rights. There are civil unions and civil partnerships and various other names various countries have for it that's available in Andorra, Australia, Colombia, Croatia, Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Hungary, Iceland, Israel, Luxembourg. It goes on and on and on, even Uruguay. And, of course, the United States mentioned Connecticut, Hawaii, Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oregon, Vermont. the times there are changing. I can't imagine what it's like to grow up as a little bitty homosexual sitting on my daddy's knee these days. The world is a changing place. And by the way, LGBT groups are issuing a strong warning and encouragement to out-of-state couples who intend to marry in California. You understand that there was not a rush on Massachusetts simply because you had to be a resident of the state, a citizen of the state of Massachusetts, in order to marry there. Well, California does not have that requirement. So California is going to become, and is already becoming, according to business reports, for wedding ceremonies and catering, et cetera, the destination to get married. But for LGBT legal organizations and five other leading national LGBT groups issued a stern warning Tuesday to couples who are planning to go to California and get married. And that warning is that they should not use their marriages to fight for recognition in federal court when they return home. The organizations are desperate to get the word out that pushing the federal government before there's a critical mass of states who recognize same-sex relationships, or suing the states where the courts aren't ready to grant those rights, would be very, very likely to result in bad rulings. Now, bad rulings, of course, become law, and it makes it much, much more difficult to win for gay marriage. And it certainly makes it much, much more difficult, well, to do it in any time in the near future. It can take years to change a law, many years, but we need to hold off on that. If you're ready and it's right for you, by all means, get married in California. And if you do, you claim the name and you act like you're married and you do the things that married people do. But do not, please, go suing the state that you live in right away. The likelihood is that it will set us back tremendously. There are other ways to win this battle, and suing right away is not the way to do it. The statement from the LGBT organizations is saying the fastest way to win freedom is by getting marriage through state courts and state legislatures. We need to start with the states where we have the best odds of winning to create that critical mass. And once we've won that mass, we can turn to Congress and federal courts, and at that point we'll ask the U.S. government to treat all marriages equally, and we'll ask that all states give equal treatment to all marriages and civil unions that are celebrated in other states. So the issue, the statement issued another warning also, that, and that is that if you're in the military or if you're on a visa and you're thinking about adopting or getting government benefits, you should talk to a lawyer who knows about those things or get in touch with one of the legal organizations for the military before doing anything remotely like that in California. I would personally recommend SLDN, Service Members Legal Defense Network. They've been on this show, and it's a remarkable organization if you happen to be in the military. And you can find them by simply doing a Google on Service Members Legal Defense Network or SLDN. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you the groups that are actually issuing this warning. That's important to know. It was signed by the ACLU Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgendered Project. It was signed by the Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, otherwise known as GLAAD. It was signed by Lambda Legal and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, which is NCLR, and five other LGBT organizations, the Equality Federation, the Freedom to Marry, the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, which is GLAAD, and the Human Rights Campaign and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. I would say that list is a veritable who's who in giving advice about what you should do legally when you return to your home state. And I definitely wanted to get that out to you, you folks who are going to the chapel and going to get married soon in California. And God bless, and may you have a wonderful future. Before we start on the next story, I'm going to use this as a short break for us to run the track that that Pamela told us about so beautifully last evening. It was a shame we got to that toward the end of the show and we were not able to run the track called Survive. And the story that goes with it is one that you should hear and should not be interpreted by me. So what I did was lifted Pamela's description and introduction for the song Survive and placed it in front of the actual track. So, Bob, let's go to break with that.
Guy, you know, I meant to ask him if I was allowed to tell this story, so I'm going to be vague, if that's okay.
Sure.
I met a wonderful gentleman that worked in the A&R department of the Christian field. And anyway, he ended up leaving the Christian field, struggling with personal problems that he couldn't stay in that area because, I meant to ask Nick if I could tell this story. I'm going to have to leave it. What I'm going to tell you is this is about anyone that is surviving from either being in the closet, overcoming cancer, overcoming a difficult situation, anything that's really, really difficult in your life. He wrote this at a very painful time in his life. So when I heard this song, I heard it, he sent it to me as a ballad and he wanted me to sing it. But when I heard it, I said, oh no, Nick, this is not a ballad, honey. This is one of those anthem songs that give people power. So I took it to this young producer, and I said, this is what I want to do with it. I want to make it an anthem. So now what's happened is Susan G. Komen, it just started in Pittsburgh, but they're starting to use this song as the opening song for the breast cancer Race for the Cure. And
wow.
So what I've been doing now is I'm working now with each city to get it going, and then if I'm not booked, I will go there and sing it. I sing it as the opening live for the people. So this has just been starting in the last month, so it's very new. But this song is the song that I'm so in love with, and I don't know if we can make it into a dance tune. It's a little too slow for a dance and too fast. You know, it's like one of the it's not in the right beat for dance music, but I don't know if we can make it a dance tune. But this is the song that I love, and my new album is pop, kind of New Orleans jazzy, no, New Orleans blues. I'd say it's more boogie blues and pop is this
wow.
new CD I have out. It just,
wow.
just came out a little while ago, Seasons of My Heart.
We give and we take, we learn and we hate and we
Thank you, Pamela. It's a wonderful track, and she's absolutely right when she told the fellow it's an anthem. Wonderful track. Absolutely wonderful. And thank you, Pamela, for sharing that. And I'm glad we got a chance to run it this evening. Pamela was a very gracious guest, and what a dynamo. I got to tell you, that she is a live wire. Absolutely a live wire. Let's talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell for a moment. Let's talk about what the Democrats have done about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Well, the answer to that is nothing, really. The Democrats really ought to be ashamed of not actively pursuing gays serving openly in the military. That's degrading to those who are willing to serve, and it keeps qualified people from joining the ranks. Now, since taking control of Congress in 07, even though verbally they were promising a removal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell left and right, the Democrats have not even convened a hearing on the matter or taken up any legislation that would let gays serve openly. Most of the party members, of course, favor repealing it, but they refuse to focus any efforts on it. Instead, and I certainly don't fault this, their efforts are toward bringing the troops home from Iraq and other issues that have broader appeal amongst the users, or the voters, users. You can tell I've been a computer guy too long. Oh, my. Freedom 3.2. And in any case, I mean, it is work, and yeah, it'll get vetoed, but at least show some effort, guys. I mean, at least to have a hearing on it, at least in some way acknowledge that it was promised. These people are so brave when they're campaigning and all the things they're going to do. There's much crowing and barking, and it's a very, very, risk takers. They're going to save us all. But when they get into office, they immediately become chicken littles. Once they're in office, it's about being reelected only and not rocking the boat. Not saying that you could get Don't Ask, Don't Tell pushed through right away, but I am saying to you, at least show some effort, guys. Now, even Barack Obama has stopped short of promising to lead the way for change. He's saying only that he can reasonably see a repeal of the current ban if he is elected president. And the whole gays in the military issue fell from grace, from being a top campaign pledge of Clinton, even back to the Clinton days, to a footnote on the Democratic agenda. And this is happening at a time that even the staunchest opponents, the loudest screamers against the having LGBT folks serve openly, are softening their rhetoric, and they're acknowledging that the nation's attitudes are changing. And a senior researcher at the Palm Center in Santa Barbara, California, says, I completely agree. Politics is driven by risk aversion and fear. And the people, the leaders, simply don't want to be the ones out front on this, even though the voices from the military are saying that they're ready to do away with it, that yes, it's outmoded, but it's up to Congress. So there are no Congress critters who are willing to step out and be the first one to bring it up, though. Why, you know, we always stay in the back room, don't we? They remember Clinton's painful experience, and it was one of his first acts as president to try to let gays serve openly in the military, and he tried to make good on it in the 1992 campaign and pledged to open the military, but it met with much resistance, and the wonderful inclusion turned out to be Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, if anything, is even more of a nightmare for LGBT folks in the military. And just his bringing it up divided the Democratic Party, and it woke the sleeping lions, the sleeping money changers from the conservative movement, and it helped the Republicards to cast Clinton as a social liberal who is woefully out of touch with the military and the church. Of course, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is intended to keep the military from asking recruits about their sexual orientation. It almost sounds like a good deal on the surface. Service members can't say they're gay or bisexual or engage in any homosexual activities or marry a member of the same sex, but of course, you don't have to ask. You can. We're normally, we're not that hard to spot many times. You know, if you're not willing to completely lie about yourself, you know, don't ask, don't tell. Don't tell is one thing, but having to amongst your coworkers or your military friends and buddies to have to tell the stories of the girl at the bar that you were with last night and all the stories that are exchanged. Law should have been, don't ask, don't tell, lie about it. So Obama, none of the congressional Democrats are wanting to go through what Clinton went through. Now, Obama has said that, something flew in. I've been trying to get that critter all evening. Obama has said that, where were we here? That if he was elected, that his primary task, of course, would be to end the war in Iraq, but he did not want to sever his ties to the military or appear to the American public as being weak on national security. And, of course, putting an LGBT individual on the front lines makes you seem weak, because only the big, tough, straight guys are able to go out and handle war. Now, Massachusetts Democratic congressman says that the Democratic Party is underestimating where America is on this subject. He introduced a bill in the House, this individual, with very little support. He did that last year. He was attempting to advance legislation, but there was a huge amount of resistance from the conservative Democrats on the House Armed Services Committee, and they figured that the issue would prove to be way, way too divisive, particularly to those people on military bases. And I don't think they are quite up to speed with what with really the thoughts are in the country today. And there is a political reality, of course, that Democrats lack a veto-proof majority in Congress. But show some effort, guys. It's not that hard. Just try to keep up with the promises. Now, Representative Susan Davis, who's the chairwoman of the House Armed Services Personnel Subcommittee, says she doesn't want to do it because the administration would not meet the current administration with a lot of enthusiasm. Well, you knew that when you promised you were going to do something about it. Are you just now finding out the current administration is deaf to human rights? Well, we just pulled out of the international human rights group. So she says we want to spend time on things we can move through, like, you know, putting the end to job discrimination on the war budget that the president said he would veto. You know, helpful things like that. The Democrats are, though, yapping about how minor technical issue here. There we go. They're saying that it's on the horizon. They're saying that if Obama is elected president, that the shortly after that the service would open up, allowing gays to serve openly, and even the GOP nominee backs that to a degree, although officially he's saying he's strictly sticking with the current policy of don't ask, don't tell. There are rumors that he doesn't really believe that, but nonetheless, he's a Republican, and he has to stick to the Republican lines. Now, Davis, the one who studied, said, we're not doing it because there's no enthusiasm in the administration. She's saying that she wants to convene a hearing on the issue by the end of the year. And even Nancy Pelosi is saying she supports the creation of a panel. Oh, goody, a panel of military experts to study the issue. No doubt the military experts who are already publicly saying that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be repealed. But, you see, no Democrat is willing to say it and to start the ball rolling. There has to be some sort of written down on a piece of congressional paper that the top military brass are looking to roll it back. Of course, the opposition to gays in the military is still huge for the conservatives, but even the moderates too. The moderates are reluctant to change anything like that when in a time of war or whatever it is we're in. Since Congress never declared war, it's not really a war; it's an occupation of a sort. The Democrats are now saying, should we take up this debate now when the nation's engaged in missions abroad in Afghanistan and in Iraq? Well, it wouldn't hurt to at least make a show of it. Make a show of so many other things. Why not at least start that ball rolling? Of course, there's been a major shift in American attitudes in the last 15 years. And Even in 2007, there are two separate polls conducted by CNN found that the majority of Americans thought that gays should be allowed to serve openly. And, of course, there are gay folk coming up that don't even know what a closet is. Growing up today with Will and Grace and Ellen and the general openness of the Internet, there's a lot of just shock silence by young folks growing up who just have no concept of why or how the world got the way it is. This brings me to Sam Nunn, by the way, which is where I was wandering toward. You know, in the past, Sam Nunn has been the biggest critic of gays serving openly in the military. Now, he is a conservative Georgia Democrat, and back in the day when Clinton was trying to get some legislation through, he was the chairman of the State Armed Services Committee, and Nunn led the opposition to Clinton's proposal to lift the restrictions. And he eventually, after much wrangling, embraced the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy as a compromise. Now, you see, as recently as last week, Nunn's name has been floated as a possible running mate to Obama. And he told reporters in Atlanta he thinks it would now be appropriate for the nation to revisit the matter of gays in the military. He says, I'm not advocating anything. Of course not. It's never a good thing to advocate. You can only do that when you're campaigning, never when you're in office. He says, I'm not advocating anything, except I'm saying the policy was the right policy at the right time. Never mind the damage that it has done. He said it's now appropriate, as if the LGBT community changed somehow in the last 15 years. It's now appropriate to take another look, or perhaps it's more politically convenient for you, Mr. Nunn. He was quoted saying that in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Which brings me to the point that as Senator Barack Obama considers potential running mates, he should strongly contemplate not having Sam Nunn as a running mate. And now, again, Sam Nunn, Senate Armed Services Committee in 1993, and he led the fight. He wasn't just in the fight, he led the fight against allowing gay men and lesbians to serve open in the military. And he was the main force after he heard about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He became a driving force behind it, and it's been a disaster. And so in the process of doing this, Nunn has engendered the long animosity of the LGBT community, who is normally a loyal voting bloc and fundraising bloc for the Democratic Party. But I don't think there is any love in our hearts for Sam Nunn, even though he's changing his position as the time changes, when it's beneficial to him, of course. he changes his position. But there is no love for Sam Nunn. Abbott's Nunn's name, it keeps appearing over and over on vice presidential shortlists. Now, Obama is looking at the fact that he spent 24 years in the Senate, and he was a Southerner, and he would give Obama a lot of the voters who were close to Hillary Clinton. And perhaps you could say his moderate to conservative position would balance Obama. And, you know, especially he's very hawkish. Perhaps that would improve his stature amongst some of the more conservative voters. See, remember, Nunn was a member of the Atari Democrats. Remember what they used to call them? The Atari Democrats, you know, video games. He was very much in favor of military technology. He was all for Reagan's Star Wars. But when Bill Clinton sought to keep his 1992 campaign promise about letting lesbians and gays serve in the military, Sam Nunn was, he was ballistic. In fact, the fact of the matter is that Nunn held more hearings and spent more time on gays in the military than he ever did on the defense budget or the, remember the Navy's tailhook sexual harassment scandal? Very little time spent there. Obama-Nunn, that ticket, the Obama-Nunn ticket, does not sit well with many LGBT folks who can remember beyond one news cycle. And I have to tell you, along with many other LGBT individuals, it would, let me say, diminish my enthusiasm for a Democratic ticket. You know, it's not that he was just opposing lesbian, gay, and bisexual, transgendered people to right to serve. He was vicious about it. He viciously campaigned against it. Do you remember when Nunn took the lawmakers on the tour of a submarine? You may not remember that. Sam Nunn took a group of lawmakers on a tour. It was heavily filmed and documented and on all the mainstream media, for-profit media, to tour a cramped submarine quarters. And the camera zoomed in on the showers and how the showers, you could see each other in the showers. And they viewed the sleeping quarters where the bunks are just inches from the other person, and that the homosexual might reach out and touch the other man during the evening or during when they're lying down. Yeah, he did that. This is why we can't let them in. We had to, because they're too close and they're just sexual animals. Gay and lesbian people are devoid of any discipline. They are not capable of defending the country. They can't even control their own activities. Yep, he did that. Do you see now? Are you beginning to see now? Well, there's little love for Sam Nunn. It would be like Anita Bryant being his running mate, only maybe Anita Bryant changed her mind. The same sort of active participation in oppression, not just passive. Now, talking, Andrew Tobias, by the way, I've spoken with Andrew at one of the meetings here in Tallahassee. He's a treasurer of the Democratic National Committee in Florida. And he says that for all of Nunn's qualifications, there would be very little enthusiasm for him within the LGBT community. Even though Tobias doesn't expect Don't Ask, Don't Tell to last long if Obama wins in November, and practically all Democrats are favoring lifting the ban, but having Nunn on the ticket just isn't really a very good idea. Now, Nunn, being aware of this lack of love from the LGBT community, has said very recently, in fact, it was just last week, he said that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be revisited. I'm not advocating anything except I'm saying the policy was right at the time, but times change, and now it's appropriate to take another look. So he's trying to distance himself from that, from his camera crews going to shoot the insides of a submarine, the showers and the bunks. But the LGBT caucus is not buying it. Quoting him, they're saying he's using the word revisited to revisit the issue. It's time to revisit But revisiting is not admitting a mistake, and it is not an apology for the pain he inflicted on the tens of thousands of lives who have been affected by the policy. And there are better choices out there for vice president, starting with Hillary Clinton. This is what the former chairman of the DNC, the LGBT caucus, has to say about it. So it's a fairly large problem if Obama goes there, and I hope to God he doesn't. That's just another, you know, once somebody has shown themselves to be a hypocrite, that doesn't change. That is a character defect that doesn't change. And you have to wonder what else Sam Nunn does only to remain in power and not for the good of the citizens of this country. You know, there are many women, particularly older women, they are not at all happy with Obama's treatment of Clinton. They view it as Hillary, by the way. They view it as being shabby. And you remember there were many voters, the blue-collar voters said that if Obama was on the ticket, they'd stay home or vote for McCain. And, of course, McCain has jumped into the fray to court them. But, you know, if Obama chooses none, then he's going to add gay men and lesbians to the list of disgruntled Democrats. Not only many women, particularly older women, who are upset about Hillary, he's going to add the gays and the lesbians to the list. So I really wish that he would reconsider that. Yes, indeed, I do. So let's ride along for a while. Let's take a break. We'll go into a short break, and then we'll pull up some more interesting fun facts to know and tell from the LGBT community. And we'll be back in just a moment.
But there are really only three stories that involve sodomites, homosexuals, queers, faggots. Is that a word that you understand? And so we see these three stories in Genesis 9, Genesis 19, Judges chapter 19. They have many things in common. And so we saw that, first of all, every homosexual in the Bible is a rapist or a molester, child molester, whatever you want to call it. Every single time. I mean, look at all three stories. It's always them forcing somebody to do something that they don't want to do. And so it's every single story. Rape.
he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And indeed, I'm back for the second hour of Strictly Confidential on a Friday night in the United States of America. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366. And if you have unlimited long distance, please use it. You'll save the studio a few bucks. And that's area code 304-658-3333, rings in West Virginia. But we are glad to pay for the call if you'd like to use the toll-free line. Either way, we'll get you into the Strictly Confidential radio show. In contrasting the story that I just told you about do-nothing Congress and always playing it safe, let's talk about what's going on in Brazil. Can you imagine this happening in the United States? Now, Brazil, by the way, is homophobic beyond your wildest dreams. Gay bashing is practically a national sport. It is a significant problem. LGBT individuals are killed and maimed daily, and it is a country of 184 million, so you can well imagine there is quite a lot of momentum in a crowd that big. Nonetheless, the president of Brazil has become the first nation leader to launch a conference with one purpose. The sole purpose of this conference is to promote gay equality. It will be the first national conference of gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transvestites, and transgendered. And it was inaugurated by the man himself, who called for a time of reparation in Brazil. At last week's conference, he announced his support for gay rights and said that he will do all that is possible so that the criminalization of homophobia and civil unions may be approved. That is to allow marriage and to make it a crime to bash. He also refers to homophobia in Brazil as a, quote, perverse disease. Love the way he slipped the word perverted in there. that's a change of thinking, isn't it? It's a little bit of a change. They're even talking about putting up a gay statue of someone from Brazil. There's no talk about who or what. Some historical figure from Brazil who probably nobody knows about, who was a gay person who influenced the world. The law that the president would like to have in effect would grant specific rights to Brazilians and would state that they could not deny any rights to LGBT citizens. Now, this kind of coincides with a gay Brazilian army sergeant who was recently arrested for desertion. Now, he deserted, even though he was given a series of media interviews. See, he was given a series of media interviews prior to him deserting about his sexuality, about his orientation while he was in the military. And, in fact, he had to desert the military because of harassment, or he chose to because of harassment. Homosexuality, by the way, in Brazil, legal since 1823, except homophobia runs rampant. It's legal except in the armed forces, and gay bashing remains a national sport. So, you know, the Congress critters, as Bob calls them in the United States, who are so concerned about rocking the boat, and they have, I grant them very little sympathy when you have people like this who stand up and do the right thing, even in a country of 184 million people who are rampantly homophobic. What happened to the leaders? Everyone's a focus group these days. Everyone's a focus group. Hell, they've even gotten to Tammy Baldwin. Now, Tammy Baldwin is the only open lesbian in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, she is predicting that in the next session of Congress, there'll be bills that will be passed to end employment, non-discrimination, and hate crimes would be more successful, and maybe even later repealing the Defense of Marriage Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, she made these comments at the Center for American Progress And this whole Center for America, what they're highlighting is the importance of domestic partner benefits for federal employees. So Tammy seems to be very interested in getting that through. She says it's going to be easy, no risk, Tammy, to grant partners of gay federal employees the same benefits that are available to the spouses of their straight counterparts. Not a bad idea, but what about a national non-discrimination policy for the rest of us? You see, the Congress critters look after themselves first. There are no exceptions to that rule, ever. She says she expects progress on the Domestic Partner Benefits Act, which hasn't moved in this session from the House to the Senate, but she's expecting that very soon. Now, we have a Gordon Smith, and he's a Republican, and he's from Oregon. Now, he joined Baldwin in this panel discussion, and by the way, the other speakers were like Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, and also the U.S. Ambassador, the former U.S. Ambassador to Romania, who is Michael Guest, who resigned. I did that story a while back regarding Michael Guest's resignation. He was a 26-year career a government service employee. He was the ambassador to Romania, but the government refused to grant any benefits for his partner of many years. And he resigned in protest of the laws. I'll tell you more about what those benefits were that he resigned over because his partner couldn't get them. I don't blame him one little bit. It sounds like a small thing, but it's not. Tammy Baldwin is also saying she's very optimistic that a hate crimes measure would pass Congress the next session, too, particularly if the Democratic presidential hopeful Barack Obama is supporting these initiatives when he takes the White House. And I agree. It's with the Bush administration in place, there was probably no way to get INDA through, even though you did make an effort, but you attached it to a war bill. He said he was going to veto. You know, just show some interest, kids. That's all I'm saying. These promises have gone on to the LGBT community since President Clinton. It just seems to me that you could take a few risks now and then. She's saying that getting these initiatives through is one thing, but repealing discriminatory laws is going to be much more difficult. Meaning the, what is it, the, I've forgotten which law it was. I think it was one man, one woman, but not a constitutional amendment, but the one man, one woman law. The Defense of Marriage Act, that's what I'm desperately looking for. That's one of the laws she's talking about, Defense of Marriage Act. She says it's going to be easier to hit the ground running with INDA and hate crimes as opposed to any of the other initiatives. She points out that Congress has already taken on some action on INDA and hate crimes this session, so the lawmakers are familiar with the issues and more willing to take them up again next year. And I don't have any problem with that. I don't mean to demean or diminish Representative Tammy Baldwin, but it's just ironic to me that her current thrust is domestic partner benefits for federal employees, meaning herself. We always look to ourselves first, don't we? She says it's going to be just too difficult to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in defense of marriage because some of the lawmakers who voted for these measures in the 90s are still in Congress. Well, what the hell did you expect? You knew that when you were running for office. It's going to be hard work. Don't give me the excuses now that you're elected. Let's get back to Smith. Now, he was up for election in Oregon this year, and even though he's a Republican, he's saying that also he believes that the INDA and hate crimes measures would pass Congress when a new president takes over. But he made very sure, and he made it very clear, that those two, INDA and a hate crimes bill, would pass whether it was Obama or John McCain in office. Anybody believe that? Smith, by the way, who was recently endorsed by the Log Closet Republicans, says that McCain has been with him on a number of gay and lesbian issues, but he couldn't name any of the issues that they agreed upon. And here we have the famous Republican remark, I know John McCain's heart. Comes right out of the same vein as Bush is a man of God, doesn't it? I know John McCain's heart. And I've just never found John McCain really hard over these issues or ideology. Now, when Smith was asked about his support for the benefits of a domestic partnership for gay federal employees, while he previously supported the federal marriage amendment, the Defense of Marriage Act, he was struggling. He had to struggle with his words while he was trying to defend his support for the Defense of Marriage federal marriage amendment. He was struggling to try to explain how he was for gay domestic partner benefits for federal employees, taking care of their own, you see, when he was against marriage for the rest of us. You know, it's what I've said all along in the show, and so many others have said, once these things are discussed, the conservatives automatically lose. There is no logical argument, and there is no spiritual argument, and there is no loving argument, and there is no, again, once these things are discussed, they lose, which is why they so desperately want to keep us in the closet. Why don't you just shut the hell up? They realize, they're beginning to realize that the fact that's being discussed is all of their reasons are just turning to sand. There are no logical arguments against everyone having the same rights. Anyway, the senator, even though he was struggling with his words, he finally said that he didn't want federal judges to impose marriage on other states, and the states should determine their own right, their own marriage rules independently. And that's why he voted for the Defense of Marriage Act, but he had to struggle and stammer for a while to get to that. He says, I don't want federal judges imposing it on any part of the country, jurisdiction, he said. Yeah. Now, by the way, Smith has been a devout Mormon for 33 years, and he said that if the government starts redefining marriage, it could be detrimental to some groups. He does not name what those groups are, but he says that if we start defining marriage, we have a long history of doing that in this country. My Mormon pioneer ancestors were victims of that, and they were literally driven from the United States in the dead of winter for their religious beliefs, and I don't want that coming back. Almost makes sense until you understand that marriage for LGBT individuals is to include people. You know, he says, tinkering with the definition of marriage as between one man and one woman would have implications that are broader than the gay and lesbian community. He does not say what those implications are, but I imagine it has to do with the fundraising capability of the religion industry, meaning Focus on the Family and some of the others whose sole fundraising capability exists in promoting the lies. But all the while, he is for the domestic partners benefit. Always them first. They've got the socialized medicine, the best socialized medicine in the world. They're covered under. Yet it's not for us. Domestic partner benefits, not for us. You know, it doesn't take long to become a Congress critter, does it? Also, Baldwin is saying that that we're just doing a dress rehearsal now, and that the rights would come later. It just strikes me as how different it sounds between the campaign and what you really get. It's like the old Bill Gates joke about given a choice between going to heaven or hell, and hell's supposed to be, the guy wanted to try them both. He went to hell. That was beautiful and lovely and harps playing. And then he said, I want to go there. So when he went there, it turned out to be fire and brimstone. And the devil says, that was just a demo. Or that was a other version. I don't remember how that joke went. It's a great joke. I'll have to remember that and tell it one day. any case, good news for California. The Governor David Patterson's directive to recognize same-sex marriages in New York is being supported. The voters are saying in surveys they support it 53% to 40%. So this is great news for California. Lots of New Yorkers will be headed that way and getting married and coming back and being in New York and having their marriages recognized. Voters are also saying, though, that it should have been left up to the legislature, but they are glad that he did it, but it should have been left up to the legislature. Of course, we just demonstrated legislatures do nothing that is any risk whatsoever. It takes an individual leader like the New York governor or the president of Brazil to just speak out and say, this is the way it is, people. What's wrong with leadership? What's wrong with that? I suppose we could argue that what's wrong with that is you might get a George Bush doing it, but I think you understand what I'm getting at. Says the move prompted strong criticism from gay marriage opponents and say that Patterson overstepped his authority because New York doesn't allow for same-sex marriages and that we should not be recognizing marriages taking place in other states. He is being sued, indeed, by Republicans and several conservative groups, yet the New York citizens are all for it. All for it. Amazing stuff. I wanted to get this in. It's a little bit further down the stack, but I wanted to tell you this story. No, it's not about the this. Here it is. Here it is. I want to tell you this story because it's an action alert. It's our very own LGBT action alert. It's that we're not boycotting Ford for putting them homosexual Ford Probe ads in The Advocate. No, we are going after a outfit called Bolt House. B-O-L-T-H-O-U-S-E, Bolt House Farms. Now, you may know the name Bolt House. In fact, you may be a fan and regular user of their products. They make a great line of health juices, 100% vegetable. Obviously, the veg juice has tomato and carrots and celery in it, and it's 100% juice. And then there's their passion fruit. They're well-designed packaging. Looks great on the shelf. You can't resist it if you see it in the store. They have an apple carrot juice. All different varieties. In any case, I strongly urge you not to buy it, even if you love it. And I'll tell you why. It's the economics of their very hateful founder. William Boathouse has just donated $100,000 to the ballot initiative to amend California's constitutional ban to stop same-sex marriage. Now, William Boathouse also owns 43% of Boathouse Farms, which is a company famous for the juice. The juice. Back in 2000, he donated $2,000 to the Bush campaign and $1,000 to Bush again in 2004. He's donated almost $12,000 to Gary Bowers' campaign for working families, which means everybody but us. He's given various amounts of money, thousands, to political action committees that are designed to promote traditional families, meaning everybody but us, and also to promote electing conservative candidates and financially supporting pro-family ballot initiatives. In fact, Boathouse sees the entire business as a platform for his ministry. And this product, again, is a Boathouse, B-O-L-T-H-O-U-S-E, Farms, if you see it in your store. So much his business is set up in a format to pay tithes to his ultra-conservative organizations. He's a major donor to the Alliance Defense Fund, and that's basically a group of homophobic lawyers that are trying to get fundamentalism and alternatives to evolution taught in the school. It's not at all surprising when you look at Boathouse Foundation's mission statement. The mission statement, the purpose of the Boathouse Foundation is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by supporting charitable and religious organizations, doesn't sound bad so far, whose ministry, goals, and operating principles are consistent with evangelical Christianity as described in the Boathouse Foundation Statement of Faith. And you might wonder what the statement of faith is. Well, it's we believe in the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament as verbally inspired by God and inerrant. There were no translation difficulties whatsoever. Word for word, every bit of it, just like God wrote it in the King James English. This statement says that they are the supreme and final authority in faith and life. See bibliolatry, which means worship of the Bible. You know, I don't care what the man does, but I sure as hell don't have to drink his juice. Inerrant, final authority. It all of this is code for no queers allowed in this playhouse. Now, the foundation gets every dime of its money from William and Nora Boathouse. And William and Nora Boathouse get every dime of their money from Bolthouse Farms. In fact, they just channel it through. Here's an example of how much money goes through. They gave the organization, the National Christian Foundation, the family, William and Nora Boathouse, gave them $6.2 million, but they made $8.2 million that year and distributed the 6.2. So as you can see, the huge majority of money, very generous, goes to these causes. So you're not just contributing 2 cents to the fundamentalists when you buy Boathouse Farms. You're, in fact, donating a fairly large amount of money. Also, the National Christian Foundation is their bullet points in their mission statements. We believe the entire Bible is inspired in an inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice, which means, of course, you know, stoning the women and no wearing of two types of cloth at the same time, and certainly no queers allowed in this playhouse. They're a massive Christian funding arm. It funnels money to many smaller organizations worldwide. And the list includes hundreds and hundreds of evangelical fundamentalist organizations. So when you buy juice or salad dressing from Boathouse Farm, remember the money goes to William Boathouse, and then it goes to the National Christian Foundation, and then it goes to hundreds and hundreds of smaller, and I hesitate to use the word Christian even though it appears here, hate groups, and along each step of the way it's given to as far right as you could possibly go, like Gary Bauer's campaign and the George W. Bush campaign and the, you know the list of likely suspects. And not to mention the $100,000 just helped to get the ballot initiative rolling in California to prevent LGBT folks from marrying. So even if you find the juice healthy, I think you might find it healthier, at least for your spirit, to lay off that junk. Find yourself another health food. The reason they separate it, by the way, the Boathouse Farms, they insert themselves in the middle because they don't want Boathouse Farms to be identified with Boathouse Foundation as a direct financial link because, you know, there are lots of LGBT folks, just like straight folks, who are into health foods and eating healthy and drinking the veggie carrot celery mix. So it would be bad for business, in fact, if anyone realized that Boathouse Farms was directly connected to the foundation. But in fact, they are. The money simply changes hands through William and Nora Boathouse, when in fact the Boathouse Foundation is a wholly owned part of Boathouse Farms. It's just a matter of whose name is on the check. Yep, that's exactly right. By the way, we have a new mayor in Portland. I'm going to try to get this guy on the show. We've interviewed other politicians, mayors, in fact, on this show of other cities in the United States who've been recently elected. But this is a first LGBT person to be elected mayor in a top 30 U.S. city in terms of population. His name is Sam Adams, and he grew up in Missoula? Was it Montana he grew up? Yeah, Montana, rural Montana. And he moved to Oregon. Has a long history of having to live in the closet in some of the small towns he's lived in. It'd be an interesting interview. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with him over the weekend and see if I can get him on the show to be a guest. He's a fairly open and, he's very open now, but active in LGBT organizations. So that's it. Now, that'll be interesting. And besides, I used to live in Portland, so I have such a fond memory of Portland. I just can't imagine being turned down by the mayor. So we're definitely going to see if we can get him on the show. That's a little crackly tonight. We'll go ahead and run another break for us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes while I wet my whistle. And thanks for joining us this evening. We'll be right back.
Well, this is for all those people who are for gay marriage. You are all going to go to hell. This is not my to say so. Look in the Bible. And if you don't believe in Bible and you're an atheist, then you're going to hell as well. It doesn't matter. You're just going to go to hell. You fucking stupid morons. For those who love gays, fuck you too. And just, I hate fucking gays, okay? Because it's a fucking sin and you're going to burn in fucking hell if you're voting for the fucking gays. Therefore, if you're voting for gays, you're voting for Satan. If you're voting for Satan, you're going to go to fucking hell. So fuck off, all you fucking fags.
Wrap your arms around me.
you're going to go to hell. Yep, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe it, then you must be an atheist, and then you're still going to go to hell. I'm sorry, I just can't resist mixing hate speech with love songs. I have no better argument. I honestly have no better argument than to answer it in that way. It's just my nature. By the way, we're talking in the chat room a second ago, making a joke about spam. You know, I had to acquire another email address today. You know, spam filters are just way out of control. You know, I send out, a short mailing list to the various DJs who do the gay bar across the street so that they know who's playing on which night. And then I have another slightly larger, maybe 200 names in it, that I send out when it, to the gay dance floor folks when I have a music guest on. It only goes out when someone like a Pamela Stanley or someone comes. And by the way, I've been asked who the artist was in the last track, and I can never pronounce it. But I'm going to try. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. It's somebody, Bob or ELO will have to answer it. I can never, but no, it's not Pamela. Thank you, ELO. I cannot pronounce her name, but she was from ABBA. Thank you. That's absolutely true. She was from ABBA, but I can't pronounce her name. In any case, but, you know, and so I have been through so many email addresses. And I also, various tracks, there's a lot of music on the show, so various tracks go back and forth between myself and DJs. And so Yahoo has now got me as a spammer because I sent too many MP3s and MP3s back and forth. And now today Google does it to me. I can't win. Now, I can get mail at Google, and I can reply to your mail at Google. But if I try to send a new mail from Google, it bounces back. It's not a technical problem. So I had to acquire a brand new email address today. So I know you the listeners and many people who email me are totally confused because I have like 6 email addresses. But trust me, no matter which one you use, it all funnels into one account, and I see it all in one place. So you don't have to send it to multiple addresses. It's just any one of the many email addresses you have will all arrive to me, and I can reply to them. It's just that now I'm down to only one email address I can actually send new mail. So you're going to discover there's a new email address, and apparently even that is going into some spam filters. You just can't win. You know, 90% of the email, the latest statistics, 90% of the email, which amounts to billions of pieces of email every day, if I'm not mistaken, 90% of that is spam. So I realize the servers are overloaded, the Internet's clogged with it, and yes, it's a horrible problem. And if I see one more, I've got to try to get I have a spam filter built in the Outlook 03, and I've got most of the Viagra going there and all that sort of thing. You know, everybody hates it, but what happened to the laws? Where'd that go? How come we suddenly are back to that again? Just amazing. Even though your email account is authenticated and they have your address, the whole bit, what it boils down to is you were actually going to end up having to pay companies who screen our email. In other words, the only way to actually get an email out anymore would be to pay a third party other than your internet service provider who registers themselves as someone who's going to monitor all the email that goes to their system and prevent spam. And they will be clear to send the email. So it's just, I don't know, spammers should be shot. I want to tell you a story about my email address and also about Medgar Evers College. You got to love this story. A fellow named Albert Smith graduated there, and he walked up to the podium at Medgar Evers College in a graduation ceremony last week, and he was wearing white gladiator boots and Gucci sunglasses, and the whole school cheered. And that is because after 4 very long years of dealing with homophobic slurs from the fellow students, Smith became the school's first member of an openly gay club to graduate. And this is a very unusual achievement at Medgar Evers College. Smith says, "I've made a mark for myself, and I made a mark for the college student." Now, Smith is 29, and he lives in Flatbush. And he says, it was the greatest feeling in the world to know I had so many supporters. But his popularity did not happen overnight. And neither did the support for what's called the Life Club, which is the school's first, actually school-sanctioned gay and lesbian awareness group in the college's 38-year history. Now, the college is comprised mainly of Caribbean American and black students. And we've done some stories about what it's like to be an LGBT person in the Caribbean. In fact, there was a gay cruise that went through there. The people were afraid to get off the boat. There was so much going on, rampant protesting and screaming, threats. Caribbean's not a nice place to be if you're LGBT. Anyway, the school is composed mainly of Caribbean Americans and black students, and the college is. And the faculty says this, not me, is rampantly homophobic, and it is a dangerous place to be. But Smith, nonetheless, and a few other openly gay students formed the Life Club, which is the first LGBT awareness group in the college. He helped, the club president is a fellow named Lamont Joseph. He's only 22. He helped create the club with Smith 3 years ago. The club was only officially sanctioned, though, this year. You know, at the very first meeting, the students, there were so few of them, they were very afraid. They actually hired a security guard to stand outside the door while they met on the college campus. And the students were far less than welcoming. The staff generally was welcoming, but not the students. In one case, a belligerent student confronted Joseph at a club fair at the school. He grabbed his candy. The group was handing out candy. He grabbed the candy and threatened him with harm if the group continued. This is called the heterosexual take the candy and run threat. School officials said they were fully supporting the group, and it now has about 30 members. It wasn't easy. And even the guests to the college realized that Smith was a big deal, you know, what he was wearing, the gladiator boots and the Gucci sunglasses, and everyone cheering when he walked up. Even the visitors who didn't know the history were well aware that Smith was a big deal. Now, there was a councilwoman, her last name is James, said that he had these beautiful white shoes like gladiator boots, and they came above the ankle, and she was just in awe. And then the councilwoman, the same one, James, he was making history, and he raised the bar, and he was wearing big Elton John class sunglasses. And Smith, of course, the fellow who walked up to the podium wearing the gladiator boots, corrected her and said they were not Elton John, they were Gucci. You gotta love it. He corrected her, no, they were Gucci, he also pointed out that his ensemble included a custom-made linen shorts set that he wore under the traditional graduation garb. Smith says, I'm out all the way. Way to go. Times of difficulty. You got to be proud. You know, I guess God equips us to deal with the prejudices and the trials that we have to go through for any given time. You know, I think back to what happened hundreds of years ago to be LGBT, and what's even going on in other countries. And somehow we're always equal to the burden. But you got to love a guy that does this in an extremely homophobic environment. So I tell you what, let's join Jerry Bonham now. You know, Jerry Bonham is. Remarkable DJ, he's been on the show before, and talked about the Trocadero's 30th Pearl anniversary, which took place in San Francisco last year. And he played that evening. It was a remarkable evening. And we have CDs as proof of that. We're going to be joining Jerry he's already actually in progress in this mix, a great section that picked out for us. And so that's Jerry Bonham this evening across the street at the little gay bar across the street, the Paradise Dance Hall. So as we gather our umbrellas and our raincoats, the party
across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows, and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
Thank you.
You know, I would like to float the possibility. By the way, that was Jerry Bonham. You can find it all about Jerry at jerrybonham.com. Please stop by. You won't be disappointed. That's jerrybonham.com. The opening page is the coolest turntable ever. I'd kill for a turntable with a blue cartridge assembly like that. Just fabulous. I'd like to float the idea. I think, you know, a group as special as we are, I think we really ought to consider at some point, maybe in a year or so, we could plan some sort of like convention. Would that not be cool? I mean, we could have speakers and talk about all the current issues. After hours, we could have a little dance in the lounge. I mean, we would have music by some of the most fabulous DJs on the planet. Billy Shears would be there, and the DJs that couldn't be there would provide music easily. And hey, why not? I mean, I think it's getting. I mean, we know each other. Like, I think it's time to turn the page. I would love to do that sometime. Bob's suggesting somewhere in the middle of the country. I completely agree. And that's something that we can think about in the near future. I'd love to hug you guys. I'm just a sentimental kind of guy, and I get off really, really big on huggies. I want to tell you, schedule coming up this week, I have John Hedges, who's absolutely legendary producer and veteran disc jockey. You're going to love him. I understand he is outrageous. Also, one of the founders of Megatone Records, which was the label I remember most often spinning round and round on the turntable. Bob is suggesting St. Louis, Kansas City, something like that, something in the middle. I want to tell you that it is a Friday night, so John is in his weekend mode now. So there is not a horn section or a all foxed up section coming up. I want to remind you that tomorrow evening the programming is not over on Saturday. Please join us around 5-ish for Rick Smith, followed by Rick Goodner at 7 p.m., and, of course, the incredible and Billy Shears coming up at 9 p.m. That is tomorrow night on the Head On Radio Network. And I'm pushing overtime, aren't I? I'm way late. So we'll just rush Cynthia Manley in to wrap this up. Here's Cynthia. Good night.